for that. Open your Bibles. I didn't pound the pulpit tonight. Mm-mm. I'm done. You break me of my idiosyncrasies. Open your Bibles, Romans chapter 14. You know, young adults years ago, I used to say probably versus probably, because I'm always in a hurry, right? I mean, if you could just probably. And some of them noticed that, and so, man, they were incessant on, I don't say probably anymore, probably. Probably not going to do that anymore. And so, long lost from the past. Long lost from the past. And so, here we go. You know what's crazy is I was studying from a different Bible, and I just had a heart attack because it's not in the same spot. And I'm looking here, and I'm like, it's not there. And I suddenly realized that I had left my Bible here yesterday, and so I was finishing. Anyway, not that you care. Romans chapter 14, let's read, Romans chapter 14, let's read verse 13, and then we might do just a quick review from last week. Let's just read 13 to the end of the chapter, Romans 14, verse 13. Speaking to believers, important that we understand that. We know that going all the way back to Romans chapter 1. Let us, believers, not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Verse 18. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another, or build up, encourage, strengthen another. Verse 20. For meat, destroy not the works of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned or judged, right? I'm not, damned is a fine word, but our language has changed. We're damned, when we use damned today, it means eternal damnation. It means judgment here. And he that doubteth is damned or will face judgment if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Title of the message is Keys to Peaceful Living. Probably not the title you were expecting, but I think you'll see that in this passage. Let me just remind you, last week we talked about things to avoid that will distract us from what really matters. This is important review. Remember, love the Christian who disagrees with you. That's good, right? Love the Christian who disagrees with you. Second, don't make non-biblical things biblical. Where the Bible's silent, you need to have convictions. You need to have a perspective of what you believe based on principles of God's Word, based on what the Bible teaches, but don't make non-biblical things biblical. It doesn't mean that we are excusing sin. It's just, let's make the Bible the focus. Always remember who the master is. You're not anyone's master in here. Every single person will answer to God. They won't answer to you. Back off and just remember that. And of all people, I'm a very bold guy, and I've got to remember that. There's a place for boldness. But let's not be judging one another for behavior, right? So there's a place for boldness, but we must be gentle in Christ. Remember, true believers want to honor Christ. Give believers the benefit of the doubt. True believers want to honor Christ. That's important. Sometimes we will treat believers as though they're the scum of the earth. True believers want to honor Christ. There's not one true believer in here. If you're a true believer, you want to honor Jesus Christ. It's a great indication that Jesus is the one I live for. And then finally, let God correct his children. Those are just some reviews from last week as we move into this. I have four thoughts tonight, just four. And don't get too excited. But I didn't intend this, but it ended up being this, so I forced my last point. So all of them end in shun. And I don't know why, it has nothing to do with it. I just said, I got to have my last one end in shun. So the first one is self-examination. Okay, so we're going to see all of these tonight. Maybe you'll remember them and you'll go like, what'd you learn tonight? Shun. You know, that's all you'll remember. Look at verse 13 in Romans chapter 14. It says this, Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. The Bible's talking about this. And in fact, why don't you just turn over to Matthew chapter 7, very familiar passage. And I just want us to understand this familiar passage. We'll go do it in detail in months to come. I think it'll take me months to get through Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. You pray for me. I'm working on that. I'll spend a lot of time on that, delightfully so, during my vacation. And it will be a good study for me to just preach the Sermon on the Mount. And so I'm excited about that. And then we'll get to Matthew chapter 7 in months to come. But Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 says this, judge not that you be not judged. It's probably one of the top 10 verses that you'll hear people quote. Judge not that you be not judged. Now, it does say judge not, but it says this, if you judge, you're going to be judged. You want people to judge you, then you be a person that judges others. So he's going to talk about this. He says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, Matthew 7, 2, you shall be judged, and with measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. It's a reaping and sowing. If you have a judgmental spirit toward others, then you're going to get that right back at you. And who wants that? Judge not lest you be judged. If you want people to judge you harshly, then you judge others harshly. That's just a principle of God's creation. Verse 3, and why beholdest thou the mote, or if you will, the splinter, small piece of wood, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote? You know, you get a little pair of tweezers, magnifying glass, hit it. He says, why will you say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in your own eye? He says, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. Here's the principle. Does this passage tell us it's wrong to judge? I want you to understand this. If you think it's wrong to judge, stop thinking. You know, I've had people tell me that. They say, you're judging me. And I love this. I say, well, you're judging me, then I'm judging you. Judgment's just discernment. There's judgment that's forbidden in the Bible. Matthew chapter 7 deals with hypocritical judgment. You understand this. I got a tiger by the tail taking care of Steve Hall. It is enough for me to take care of Steve Hall and to wrestle with the flesh and just wrestle with the discipline of walking and living the Christian life. It's all about Christ. And what the Bible says is, stop worrying about everybody else, and why don't you just examine yourself and say this, am I causing other believers to err? Am I causing other believers to stumble? Versus me looking at you, and I've got perfect vision, Clay, with your sin. Because Deanna tells us. No. But you know this? I ought not to worry about your sin. I need to focus on mine. What good is it? You don't answer to me. You know, we could have a friendship where there may be a place where I would take you aside privately and lovingly and kindly and gently, and we might deal with some things, but that's a rare instance. But what the Bible says is, it says the key to all of this, look back at Romans chapter 14, let's just look at verse 13 again. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. We're always worried about what everybody else is doing. And it says, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. You need to pay attention to your behavior. I need to pay attention to my behavior. And am I causing you issues in your walk with Christ? That's critical. Is my spirit, is my attitude, are my words, are my actions, anything that would cause you to compromise what holiness is, to lower your esteem of Christ, that is harming you and that is hurting you. And I would suggest that may be one of the worst sins. So what the Bible says is, before we start judging everybody else and saying, you're wrong. You see, because this whole chapter deals with you having convictions. I want you to have convictions. I never want to talk people out of their convictions. But many times convictions are just that. You won't find a specific thou shalt not in the Bible. You may be able to argue principles, but most people might not hold to your convictions. What will you do with that? I will tell you this. I love people that hold to convictions, and I know they have sweetness and godliness in their heart when they don't hold everybody else to that same standard. It's a beautiful thing. You hold to your convictions. I never want you to deviate from your convictions. That would be wrong. I don't want to make fun of you for your convictions. You know, I'm not going to go back and review it. I joked a little bit last week. And you know what? I was wrong. I'm not making light of anybody's conviction. I'm not. You hold to your convictions. And then what's beautiful is, if you have those convictions, you're not worried whether anybody else holds to them or not. You got to answer to God for yourself. I have to answer for God for myself. Let's just make sure of this. I don't want to cause you to stumble before Christ. I don't want to cause you to sin. Understand, that's completely different than the world. Proverbs talked about it all the time, that the world never is content being alone. They have to take other people with their sin. They have to be, you know, like a, you know, a posse, a group that they take with their sin. Self-examination, keys to peaceful living. It's this: I need to examine myself, how I'm walking with Christ, what I'm doing, and I'll answer before God, and I need to love the brethren. Second thing I want you to see is brother consideration. Self-examination, brother consideration. Look at verse 14 and 15. He says, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Specifically, I think, he's probably dealing with the Jewish contingent here in Rome. You know, the Old Testament Levitical law had a lot of clean animals and a lot of unclean animals. Well, you remember the vision that Peter had and said, nothing is unclean. God particularly had that law. He tells us, I think it's in Leviticus 20, he tells them why he had the specific dietary law for the Israelites. Do you know why? It was to keep them separate from the heathen. It was so they wouldn't eat with the heathen. And sure, did they benefit because they didn't get trichinosis from pig, and they didn't get a lot of food poisoning from the scavenger sea beast, right? So sea creatures, I guess would be a better word. But they didn't get those diseases, but that wasn't the point. God's point is never focused on the physical. We're always focused on the physical. But he said, I gave you that dietary law so that you would be separate from the heathen. Eat with the wrong people, it'll destroy you. Eat with the right people, it'll help you. One of the reasons why I like our dinners, I want us to eat with the right people. When we started going through the book of Acts, this is probably 5 years ago, I said, it seems like all they do is they break bread together all the time, and they were with one accord, one mind. They had unity. Eating with the right people is a good thing. So what Paul is saying here is he's dealing with these Jews that were raised and said, you'll eat shrimp. Let me just tell you. But I also want you to know, you heard me this morning and I heard a groan. I don't know who groaned. That's okay. I hope you don't know who groaned. So now that I've mentioned it, it's probably not good that I mentioned it. When I said that when we have our pig roast, we're also going to have some beef. You know why? There's some people that won't eat pork. And you know what? I would never want to encourage him to eat pork. We had beef hot dogs when we had our finale of our vacation Bible school. And because we wanted to be considerate. You know this? Typically, most people from the Middle East aren't going to eat pork. You know why? Because they weren't raised that way, and it's not even necessarily a conviction, is it, Monique? It's just you hate that stuff. You are missing out, my friend, on salted ham. It's like, whoa, I am so glad I'm from Cincinnati, Porkopolis, right? But I love you, and I respect that, and I would never, you know what I mean? So I pepperoni, you know, I mean, but I so respect that, right? And so, you know, when I mention that, it's just to be considerate. Now, let me help you with this. So it was the dietary law, and you got to understand the Jews, I mean, they got all of the rules down. And who was it? I was talking to somebody recently, and they were talking about a Jewish family here in Cincinnati. Cincinnati has quite a large Jewish contingent. And so they were talking about the feast. Was it you, Deanna, talking about? No, it wasn't. It was the feast of unleavened bread, right? And so you remember that. They were to empty their home of all leaven or yeast. We would call that yeast today. They still do that today. Those that are Orthodox and those that follow that, right? And it just seems weird. Well, they don't know why they're doing it. But get the yeast out, man. Just get it out. Well, it's a picture of sin, and what God was teaching them was, you've got to get rid of your sin. That's the issue. How are you going to get rid of your sin? It's only by the blood of the Lamb. And the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, has come. Well, the Jews would get the execution of the rules down. And see, this is a risk for us. We don't have to be Jewish. Guess what? Some of you got this church attendance thing down. You've nailed it. Christianity's not about church attendance. Is church attendance a good thing? But don't let that be your Christianity. Let it be a means by which you worship the King, a means by which you're refueled. This is the way I look at church services. Even preaching, I still view it this way, is it's like a gas station for me. Fill her up, please. And you want to get filled up so that I'm ready to go. I'm ready to serve. Sometimes you come here on empty on Wednesday nights, right? Ask God, say, Lord, would you fill her up, please? I need to be refueled, and we do. And so, but we can get the rules down, and what Paul is saying is he's saying there is nothing truly unclean, but he's saying this. Listen, he's saying this. If your brother will stumble because you eat shrimp, you know what he's saying? Don't eat shrimp. Maybe, you know, midnight snack. Then, you know, spray your breath. And so, you know, because it's not wrong to eat shrimp. But he's saying this, if it will offend your brother, then don't do it. Now, I want to tell you this scripture can be manipulated, and I don't want this to become this way. I don't want our church to become this way. Imagine this, all of a sudden we become the offended police. And everybody's walking around and go, do you know what offends me? No, I'm not interested. No, I sort of am. But it's not, we can't lord over you. You follow me? There's a balance in all of that. I mean, I tell you this, it will be important to me. If I love this. There, you know, someone came to me recently and said, I hurt them, and I appreciate that. And you know what I had to do? I had to say, you're right. Please forgive me. I was wrong. I was inconsiderate. That's critical. That's critical for good Christian fellowship. And we ought to do that. You know, so it is, you can come up and privately and lovingly say, you know, this offends me. And you know what we ought to do is to say, it's really not that big a deal for me to give that up, right? For the benefit of God's people. What did Christ give up for our benefit? So we have to do self-examination to say, am I doing something that's going to cause issues with the believers, with the brethren? And we ought to see, you know, we ought to see brother consideration that says, what am I doing that'll cause my brother to dishonor Christ or not to think Christ is high and lifted up? It's silly, isn't it? We joke about it because we're not in that Jewish culture that says, eat the wrong thing and you're a loser. But boy, that culture was, we will not have anything to do with you if you eat these certain meats. And Paul said, you know what? Just consider your brother. And look at verse 15 again. He says, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, because you know what? The loving thing to do would just say, I don't need that. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. I mean, if honestly, if, I'll tell you this, I want to reach all people. So imagine this. Imagine Imagine if I wanted to reach the Arabic-speaking people, and if they found out, you know, imagine this. Just I'm making this up. If they said, "Oh, your pastor, does he sausage?" You're like, "Yeah, sausage McMuffins, man, like 10 times a week." And they go, "Well, we can't come to the church." If you told me that, you know what? I'd give up sausage publicly. I'd give up sausage, right? Because why? But I don't think that's going to happen, right? I don't think it's going to happen. But it is, that's a small thing that says, I want to reach people for Christ. And if something as simple as that gets in the way, then I'll let it go. I want you to turn over quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. I just want to give you an illustration, not an exact illustration of this, but you're familiar with this passage. Some of you are. Let's now go, and this will give you an illustration for when Paul was dealing with this young church at Corinth, probably 5 years old in the Lord. And understand, Corinth was an evil city. They would have sacrifices under their idols, and they would sacrifice meat, and the meats that were sacrificed to their idols would then be sold on the market. And, I mean, I love a deal, right? And so it'd be like, you know, the meat that was used be like half price. Being a Gentile, you know, but I'm all about it. Half price meats, right? But some people, and I think probably if I were to had a private poll, that most of you would think it would be wrong to eat meat sacrificed to idols. If you believe that, don't eat meat sacrificed to idols. I would first taste it. Say, no, medium well. That's pretty good. Let's try medium. Just kidding. That's not how we determine what is right and wrong. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, just shut up and read the Bible. Verse 1 says this, 1 Corinthians 8. It says, "Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we have all knowledge. But be careful, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth." You see this? Being right isn't always the best thing. Being loving is always right. I'm telling you, I wish I'd have learned this when I was young, because really, all I cared about was being right. Why? Because I was always focused on winning, and being right was part of winning. I wish I had put this in my brain 30, 40, 50 years ago that said winning is loving. I think my life would be far different. Winning is loving. It's not how people perceive me. It's not, you know, the macho thing. It's winning is loving. That is what the Bible says. Now let's look at this. He says, "Knowledge puffeth up, but charity," that sacrificial giving love, "edifieth," or builds up. Verse 2. "And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know." Just understand that we don't know much. "But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in this world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods," little g, "whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many," small g, small l, "but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him." Verse 7. "Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge." Not everybody understands that. These idols are just wood, stone, metal. "Howbeit, there is not that in every man that knowledge. For some, with conscience of the idol unto this hour, eat it as a thing offered unto an idol. And their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak." So here's what he's saying this. You can eat the meat offered to idols. It's just a piece of wood. It's just a piece of stone. It's just a piece of metal. But I'm telling you, if it's a stumbling block, we have a different story. Verse 10. "For if any man see thee which hast knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And so remember this, the Bible teaches this, if you think it's sin and you do it, it is sin. Right? You'll answer to God. It's the whole spirit. If you think it's wrong and you do it, then you sinned against God because you did something you thought was wrong. So if your brother sees you down at the Idol Cafe, and you know on Friday you're getting the beef brisket, and it's half price, and then he says, wow, if Steve can do it, I can do it. But he thinks he's doing wrong. You cause an issue. Look at verse 11. And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. Because that brother's going to think he's sinning. And he's going to like that brisket, man. I mean, it'd be like this. Monib, don't you dare taste pepperoni, my friend. Because it'll grab you like, and you'll have to repent. But when you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make thy brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Do you see that? You can eat the meat offered to idols, but not if it offends your brother, and not if your brother thinks it's wrong, and not if your brother acting on that, it'll cause him to sin. And when your brother thinks it's sin, and your brother continues to indulge, your brother's going to be weak, and your brother's going to fall. See, we need to be brother considerate, and just think, how will this affect other believers? What I say, where I go, what I do, how I act. Turn back to Romans chapter 14. Let's look at verse 16 to 20. Third thing I want you to see is self-examination, brother consideration, kingdom exaltation. See, that's my shun. Those all fit really well. The last one you're going to say, man, he was pressing. These just automatically flowed. They flowed. So kingdom exaltation. This is to how keys to peaceful living. Look at verse 16. Let not your good be evil spoken of. Now, let me help you understand that. That might be difficult. Let not the freedom that you have, the ability that you have. What Paul's saying is, don't let your freedom to eat shrimp, which was forbidden by the Levitical law, to eat pork that was forbidden by the Levitical law, to eat some scavenger animals that were forbidden. Don't let your good be evil spoken of. Why? For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. I'm challenged by that because I can't make it, you know, even with my position of alcohol. I'm not going to make the kingdom of God about eating and drinking. It's not what you eat. It's not what you drink. And I'm not going to go review where I'm at on that again. But he says, let not your good, let not your freedoms be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. But here's what the kingdom of God is. He summarizes it in three things. Righteousness, peace, and joy. This would be a great time for Sunday school if we said, well, what's the kingdom of God about righteousness? Understand this. You need the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Every single person that you talk to, they all think they're going to heaven because they're good. They have this half-truth. I need righteousness, and I think I'm providing it. What you have to tell them is, you're half right, but you don't provide the righteousness. Only one is perfect, and that is God, and you need his perfect righteousness, or else you will stand in judgment before God. But I want to tell you this, it's not only the righteousness we receive at salvation, let me tell you what my Christian life is about. It's about loving Jesus Christ that results in obedience. What would another word for obedience be? Starts with an R. Righteousness, okay? So my life only begins when I have the righteousness of Christ, and then by Christ I can live a righteous life, a life of obedience on him. The key to obedience is focus on Christ. The key to obedience is loving Jesus Christ, immersing in his word, immersing in him, loving him, and that's the key. The kingdom of God is about righteousness. You need the righteousness of Christ, and then we need to exalt Christ by living righteous lives. Not for our glory, but his. Second, it's about peace. It's again, first you must have peace with God. The only way to have peace with God is you must be born again. You must be saved. You must have peace with God to avoid his wrath. You will have his wrath or you'll have his peace, and peace only comes through his Son. Then what life is about is living peaceably with all men. Kingdom of God is about righteousness. If at all possible, live peaceably with all men. And that verse is an important verse for me. I get very aggressive. Who was with me Wednesday night? I don't know. Oh, Carl was with me Wednesday night. You pray for Carl as well. He's home. He's got an infection. He's just feeling very weary today. So you remember Carl in prayer. But Carl was with me, and I need to have peace. But I don't know. So I'll tell on myself. But we met a Hindu, and Hindus believe, of an eclectic, everything is okay, you're just at a different stage, and nobody's wrong. And she said, well, yeah, I just don't believe that. I said, well, one of us is wrong. I said, what you're teaching is completely opposite of what I'm teaching, because you just told me you have to be good. And she said, well, I asked for forgiveness. I said, tell me why in the world, who's going to forgive you? What is his name? Of the millions of gods. She didn't know his name. So you need to find out his name. She said, why should he forgive you? She said, I don't know. Now, see, so I'm telling you, I don't know if I was peaceful. I need to be peaceful. But I'll tell you this, there was a sense of urgency. I wanted to stir her heart. I wanted her to hear some things that she'd never heard before. I said, you know why you're Hindu? I said, because your mama and daddy were Hindus, because you don't have a clue what you believe. I said, I got news for you. Mama and daddy are wrong. And I said, you need to do some searching. I know I wasn't saying it this loud. Apparently I was saying it loud enough because the neighbor came over. But I was trying to be nice. But I'm telling you, there's a sense of urgency. I wanted to be peaceful. I just wanted to tell her that, you know what? I didn't tell her that to be a jerk. She's just as happy as a lark, heading straight to hell. And I said, why don't you study? And I said, how about studying the Bible? And I gave her Gospel of John. I said, why don't you just read this? I said, this is one of the key books of the Bible that'll tell you what the Bible says is necessary for eternal life. I need to be peaceful. I need to have peace with all men. But there's a part, you would be better at it because I was too aggressive. I could feel it. You know, I've told guys that are with me to pull me back, to literally grab my shirt and say, because they'll see me. I get... And it's not because I'm trying to intimidate. I don't know what I'm trying to do, but I get intense. Because I'll probably never see him again. But I need to be peaceful. You know why? God's peaceful. Kingdom of God is about righteousness, about peace, and then it's about joy in the Holy Ghost. You know, we have so much to be happy for. Wouldn't this be great if we had a Sunday school lesson and we could just, what is so joyful about Christianity? What is so wonderful about Christianity? How about this, that I can be forgiven of my sins and they're washed away and they'll never be remembered again. Wow, that's good news. You know, you go to a prison and you can say, hey guys, would all of you like the slate to be clean and you just to get out of here? They'd be like, yeah, I'd be the most popular guy in that place. I'd say, well, I can't do that. And I'd be the most unpopular guy in that place. I said, but I can tell you how to be made right with God, and he'll make the slate clean. You might have to serve your time here on this side of heaven, but I can tell you how to be made right with God. He's the one that will wipe the slate clean. And it's only through his son, Jesus Christ. Is that not something to make you happy about? Guys, you might have to stay in a 4x8 cell for the rest of your life, but I can tell you how to have eternal life, and you'll have a glorious home in heaven with Jesus Christ. You see, the inmates would be excited. Are we excited about forgiveness of sins, right? I've just listened some things down here, right? I have forgiveness of sins. I have eternal life. I have eternal hope, right? I have fellowship with God. I'm just telling you this. You meet people. You just got to ask people. Ask people this. What'd you talk to God about yesterday? I mean, people tell me that, well, I'm a Christian. And I'll say, what'd you talk to God about yesterday? I don't remember. Day before. Last week. What? Tell me. What'd you brag about God about? Just tell me. Because you love him, right? Come on now, tell me. You know what? People don't know him. They don't talk to him. They don't have fellowship with him. They don't enjoy him. I'm just telling you this. You know, some of my sweetest times with the Lord is when I've rebelled against him. I know that sounds weird. But he receives me and he loves me and he cares for me. And I try to give him every reason why he shouldn't. There's nothing like fellowship with God. If you don't understand fellowship with God, then you're probably not praying, you're probably not in His Word, and you think He's always mad at you. I can't find that in the Bible. He will chasten me, and He'll put a good old spanking on me, and I'm thankful for that. You know, I've told my parents, my dad since passed away, but I've told them, I said, thank you for all the spankings. I said, you missed about two-thirds of them, but thank you for the third that you caught me on. I said, because it kept me from a lot of other sin. When I get in heaven, I'm going to tell the Lord, could you just outline the times that you chastened me and corrected me? He said, well, we've been printing it out for the last 3 millennium. And, you know, we ran out of ink. And so, you know, I think when I see this, I'm going to see the intervention of God in my life. And I never thanked Him. You know, I would love to see that list, wouldn't you? Lord, I forgot to thank you about this. Thank you. And He'll say, well, you forgot to thank me about 14,375,643. Not that He's counting. We have so much to be thankful for. I'm just telling you this. If you don't have the joy just with fellowship with God, you know God. That's amazing. That's an amazing statement. Is the kingdom of God not about righteousness, about peace, and it's about joy? If anybody, we ought to have the joy of the Lord, right? Kingdom exaltation. Let's just continue to look at verses 18, 19, and 20. I'll try to get a move on it. And so we're talking, what's the motivation to be considerate? It says, verse 18, for he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. It's this, we have differences. Those that don't eat shrimp can be godly, and those that eat shrimp can be godly. The silly things of life, right? That's what he's saying. He's saying, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Here's what we should do. We should always be about this. I want to be peaceful. Let me tell you, I think if we were just peaceful with our spouses, our marriages would be better. I miss my wife today. This is the first time ever that she's not here. And there is something different with her not here. I missed her. I told her. She said, how'd it go today? I said, not as good if you were here. And I told her. And it's just, I miss my wife. And so the Lord's just reminding me, well, why don't you just be nicer to her? And I'm going to try to be nicer to her, peaceful to her, encouraging to her, exhorting to her. Familiarity breeds contempt. She can get on my nerves faster than anybody in this room. Linda's in second place. Just kidding, Linda. I love to tease Linda. She's the older sister I never had. I did have an older sister, but not that old. I didn't have an Ancient of Days older sister. It is, but I want to tell you, it is, it's just, you see, it's just, we ought to be people of peace and we ought to be people of encouragement. That's Christianity. I think what Christianity is known for today is people of complaint. People of unhappiness. Look at verse 20 and then I'll move to my last point. For meat, destroy not the work of God. For just, you know what? Don't eat the meat if it'll destroy the work of God. All things indeed are pure. You can have the meat. But it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. Always think of others. Will this offend? Because it's about the kingdom. It's not about you. It's about the kingdom. It's not about you. And then finally, faith investigation. I know. So bear with me here and look at verse 21, 22, and 23. I had to have a shun. So now you're seeing the stretch. It says, it is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, or he'll be judged. Sin, you'll be judged, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. This is just, and there can be danger in what I'm about to say. First, let me read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. I tell people this all the time, and then I'll get to my final thought. It used to blow my mind all the time that, I want to ask you this. Can a lost person, can they ever do anything righteous? I heard a yes. Thank you for that. What do you think? Looking at you. You think yes. What do you think? Only eyes that matter. Mine. No, God's. The Bible says there's none that doeth good. The Bible says if it's not a faith, it is sin. That's how helping the little old lady cross the road is ultimately not righteous before God, because it wasn't done in faith before God. And so what the Bible says is this: Steve, if you can do it in faith before God, knowing His Word, right? So if His Word forbids it, then don't even go there. With a clear conscience, understanding that to your knowledge, it's not going to offend the brother or sister. It's not going to impair the work of the kingdom. Then you can eat gladly in faith. If you can do it before the Lord, with all those caveats I gave, then do it before the Lord. If you can't, then it'll be sin for you. That's upon many things. That's not the first layer of determination of what is right and wrong. The first layer of determination of what is right and wrong is right here. Okay? I tell people, they go, well, and I'm not even going to name the sins people have said over the years. They say, I have a clear conscience about this, Pastor. I go, your conscience is seared, because here's what the Bible says. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what you say. It says, thou shalt not. I love you. I'm just telling you, you're killing yourself. But for those things that aren't in the Bible, and there's some question marks in your mind, you should seek the principles of God's Word that may not be direct commandments. But if you can do it in faith before God, then do it. I will tell you, you should be hanging around people that you respect spiritually. And if you have questions, I would tell you, you should ask your brothers or sisters in Christ what they think. Not that that has to be your final answer, but remember, our focus needs to be the kingdom of God, right? Not my pleasure, not what I want, but... And then when you've done all the examination, if you can do it before the Lord, then you do it. Those are things that aren't clearly listed out in the Bible. The principle of God's Word is, if in doubt, don't do it. If you think it'll hurt somebody, don't do it. If you think it'll cause issues with the kingdom of God, don't do it. Christianity is not about what you can't do. But we always must remember, it's not about me. It's about Christ. It's about His kingdom. It's about His children. And if you can pass those tests and with a clear conscience do it, then the Bible says, do it. Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. You see, Romans 14, it's not a license to sin. Romans 14 gives us more reasons why we should probably not do things that we are not sure about. If you're not sure about it, why do it? Because I'm only here for a short while. I'm here for the glory of God. I'm here to represent Him. Somebody asked me recently, final thing, and maybe I'm encroaching on my old hobby horse. If there's a hobby horse, this is probably it. I've always wondered what my hobby horse is. I think this might be it. I need to be nice about it. Somebody said, I'm having a party, and I know these people are going to ask me why I don't drink. Here's what I told. I said, ask him this. Should a policeman drink on the job? How many of you say, I think the policeman ought to drink on the job? How many of you think that's a good idea? I've never met a lost person yet that thinks policemen should be drinking on the job, right? How many of you think, I know people that think policemen should drink on the job. How many of you think that's a good idea? And then you tell them this. I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. That's more important than a policeman. I never clock out. I'm on the job 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And if you think it's a bad idea for a policeman to drink on the job, then I think it would be a bad idea for an ambassador of Christ to drink. I need my wits. I'm always on the clock. I'm always representing Christ. I've been called a light. I've been called salt. I'm his representative. And if you don't think a policeman should drink on the job, then I guess you've heard my answer. I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And how dare me? And then there's a call. And I need to be ready. And I'm a little bit loopy. I told him, just tell him that. Say, I'm an ambassador, and I never clock out. You know, it's a similar principle that says, when we understand who we are in Christ, then there are some things that an ambassador just shouldn't do. And it's for the glory of the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word. I pray that we would not become